Hey, welcome to Retrospects episode. What is it? Seven?
Seven.
Oh, yeah. Because I did 666 last time because I'm cool. Welcome, guys. We are here live. It is Saturday night. It is every other Saturday. So we are here, not Rant On. It is the good podcast, Retrospects. Sorry, Todd.
I'm not.
Damn. What? You're not? Okay. Hey, we're joined by Justin. We haven't been joined by Justin in quite a while since I think episode two. We've got Nick, we've got Andrew, we've got super producer Todd. Today, Andrew is bringing us our theme for the episode. Let us You're know welcome. What that is, Andrew.
So it was based on a few discussions like I've had. I know Nick and I have had this discussion before, but it's a game series that you love that you wish you could just play again for the first time, because you know you play it so much you couldn't put it down, and then all of a sudden it's like, man, now I don't have the ability of playing it anymore. You won't be able to play it again and with brand new eyes. So that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Awesome. I definitely have some in mind. I know you guys do as well. I won't inundate the entire show with video game news, because I know we had quite a bit of it, but we have a few stories. I'll jump right into mine, which is something that kind of I just heard about today, which was that there is a rumor that the Nintendo Switch is going to get a re-release or a remake or something, some kind of version of Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Arguably the best Legend of Zelda game. I don't know how y'all feel about that. I know for me growing up, it was that was my favorite, because I think it was the first one. It was the second one that I ever played. But when you're a kid, the new stuff is always the better stuff. I don't want to talk about my favorite Zelda game because it's going to get brought up a little bit later. Spoiler alert.
User on your channel timed out.
But I wanted to just bring it up. There's the rumor started actually with trademarks happening in Australia as well as Europe for Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time by Nintendo. So I'm not too sure if we're maybe getting something, whether a version of the game, maybe it's going to be something that's going to be digital only. You know, maybe we are going to get some version of a Nintendo 64 classic, and that's the first game that they're filing the patent for. I don't know. It just kind of popped up today. You know, with as popular and as well as Link's Awakening did as a re-release on the Switch, it wouldn't surprise me that we would get this. What do you guys think?
How many times do we need to have Ocarina of Time?
I mean, So we had it on the GameCube, right? We had it on the 3DS. I mean, that's not overkill in my opinion.
It wasn't sold by itself on the GameCube though, was it?
No, it wasn't.
It was that pre-order bonus for Wind Waker, I assume.
Was it a pre-order bonus or was it just sold with Wind Waker?
Well, it was pre-order bonus. And then it
was a Master Collection, right?
It was Master Quest and original.
So you got the Master Quest, and then one Christmas, they did a pack-in with it and, like, the Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Ocarina, Majora's Mask as, like, the Collector's Edition disc without Master's Quest. So that actually got two separate releases in the GameCube.
I mean, all right, so after the N64, what system hasn't it been on?
It wasn't on the Wii or Wii U.
Virtual console doesn't count.
Well, okay, I mean, do you count the virtual consoles? I mean, if that's the case, I mean, God, every game.
but I feel like that's what I was getting at, because I feel like I've seen it so much on like virtual consoles, you know.
All right, so I don't want to say virtual console, because virtual console is the same game that was on the N64.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say.
What I'm saying is when they, you know, re-release it with updated graphics for whatever console it is. Thanks. So that's what I would say is a re-release, not just emulated.
And port. Wii U had it with Wind Waker. you know, the Switch has had it with Link's Awakening, and there was rumors. I remember listening to the Zelda Dungeon podcast at the very beginning of the year, and they were talking about a HD remaster of Twilight Princess. And so that's, you know, for that was what a lot of people thought it was going to be. But, you know, Ocarina of Time is, you know, it always goes back and forth. Is Ocarina of Time the best Zelda? Is you know, Link to the Past the best Zelda? Honestly, Wind Waker. I don't even, you know, Wind Waker's my favorite Zelda.
Majora's Mask. Waker's my,
yeah.
I mean, that's Alyssa. That's my wife's favorite Zelda. Mine is, again, we're going to talk about it here in a little bit. Wind Waker is my number two. Ocarina would probably be number four for me. Three would be Link to the Past, maybe. I don't know. I'd have to really sit down and think about my ranking. But let me ask you this, and then we'll move on. With how dry this year has been for Nintendo when it comes to anything, right? I mean, you know, we had a Nintendo Switch, you know, mini direct, and while it was cool that we're getting re-releases of Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne, which is a great PS2 game, and we're getting Shin Megami Tensei 5 as a Nintendo Switch exclusive, you know, all that stuff is cool, and it sounds like it's next year. You know, do we want to focus all of our time on remakes and remasters when there has been, you know, it's been announced that Breath of the Wild 2 should have probably been coming out sometime this year or next? And then we haven't heard
Nintendo
anything.
Goes, no.
I mean,
not with the way Nintendo runs.
And then, you know, and I get and I respect Nintendo for halting Metroid Prime, you know, and restarting it basically. I have respect for that. I would rather them do that than release something that sucks, especially with Metroid. But like, why do we keep going back to the well? Nintendo, you don't need to do this. You're not Sega with Sonic the fucking Hedgehog. You don't need to release it every single console generation.
No, they're Mario with Mario the fucking Hedgehog.
They really are.
But I mean, but to be fair though, is it, I mean, but with the exception of the possibility of all these other Mario games coming out on the Switch for the 35th anniversary, which I understand, they're not re-releasing Super Mario World on every system in like a, you know, a different version. Like they've released the movie Terminator 2 800 times on various platforms and stuff. I don't even think they've done that with Mario as much as they've done that with various Zelda games or, you know, especially Sonic. Oh my God.
Can I inject real fast?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it as long as it's based off the 3DS remake, not the N64 one. Like, if
you want easy water temple, that's what you want.
Yes. I'm in the camp. I didn't like Ocarina of Time as much on N64, but when I replayed it on the DS, I was like, oh, okay, it's not the worst one that I thought it was going to be. And like, if it was that but in HD, I would be like, okay, cool, better, slightly better character models, a cleaned up water temple, some of the story beats redone to kind of help fix some continuity issues. Like, I'd be okay with that remake being brought up and kind of on a console that's honestly a little bit more successful than its original release.
I mean, I would say the Nintendo 64 was extremely successful.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, I played the 3DS version of Ocarina of Time, and it, you know, until when I got that game, I thought Ocarina of Time was the best Zelda game. Like, there was no better Zelda game. Then I played it on 3DS and had a blast. But I realized, oh, I don't think this is the best Zelda game, and so it made me realize, oh, okay, this is not. I was looking at this with nostalgic eyes, which there's nothing wrong with. But yeah, I thought that was interesting when I played that game. So moving on, huh?
I get it. I don't agree with it, but I'm good at it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's money. I mean, you're printing money basically.
Todd Howard is over here just going, man,
exactly,
I love it.
Exactly, that's what I'm thinking of. It's like, how come Nintendo keeps to do it?
moving on, and we'll just brush on it, because I kind of tried to get people to own this story, and nobody really gave a crap, and I kind of don't give a crap either. We got a Battletoads game coming out August 20th.
Yes. Love
Battletoads.
I mean, I like this art style. I like this style of art, very cartoony, very 2D. It looks like Streets of Rage 4. I think that is cool. Other than that, I don't really have a strong attachment to Battletoads. It was never something that I played. It was never something that I played, you know, when I was a kid. It was, get it. I get, you know, the joke of, you know, Battletoads is so hard, or, you know, if, especially if you're in your 30s, you were and worked in retail, you, and during the Wii era, you remember those fucking phone calls. Oh man, you got Battletoads on the Wii? I felt like that was the original fucking dank 4chan meme. I don't know. Dang. But yeah, August 20th. It looks cool. It looks very Powerpuff Girly, you know, Streets of Rage 4, River That's City super Girls. Cool to you,
Powerpuff Girly?
Fuck yeah. It's not cool to you?
Did you ever get your free wrist strap?
With my pre-order? No. It still hasn't come in the mail yet. It I'm must be it. Lost in customs or something.
Pre-order for what is it?
Well, when you pre-order Battletoads for the Wii, you get a free Wii wrist strap.
Oh, you got me. God damn it. I hate it. Oh, I hate it. Well, I mean, cool. I mean, at guys, least, if you...
I mean, Rare is getting work, so that's nice.
Good for them. Yeah. I mean, this hey, they're still Rare? Getting their money.
Yes.
They're still getting their money. That Donkey Kong Country just came out for the Switch Online service. You know they're getting paid for that. It looks cool. It's I don't have an attachment to the IP, so this is like a whole new, you know, thing for me. But if you're into, you know, Turtles in Time and River City Girls, or you know, those newer beat 'em up, Scott Pilgrim, there's some shoot 'em up aspects to it. It looks cool. I mean, you guys would probably like it, especially if you like this you know, this IP. But yeah, it's coming out August 20th. If you're listening now, that's towards the end of the month. But yeah,
what I want to say is for the art style and how it looked in the trailer and a little bit of the gameplay that I saw, like the closest thing is, yes, if you like the beat 'em ups, but also if you love Castle Crashers.
Oh, except yeah.
You have to drop Absolutely. Somebody.
This art style it's like 2019 Powerpuff Girls.
Hey, that's know. What I'm talking about. I love it. I'm not a brony. Girls. Let me just state that. I'm not a brony. But I think the art is cool, all right? Andrew, you had something to talk about that was definitely interesting.
Oh my gosh, like this changed my world. Like I have been just for the longest just wanting to play some sort of light gun you know, rail shooting game on my TV. But as we all know, any flat panel TV, those have no ability of working with any kind of light gun, whether you're Duck Hunt or if you got like Lethal Enforcers, Time Crisis, whatever you got.
Bullshit.
Yeah, you can't play any kind
of CRT is better.
It is. The CRT has a whole lot going for it in this, in the sense of light guns. And Linus Tech Tips brought this up just the other day, and I was watching the video and I was like, my gosh, my life. Because, yeah, like the whole big thing was the Wiimote was the closest thing you could get to it on a flat panel, and it was always awful. It always just felt kind of boring.
Can I say one thing about the little Wii gun? That thing was fucking annoying. But there was a I can't remember what it's called. Oh, yes, I do. It was Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles. I loved that game. Go on. It's a great rail shooter.
Nick, you had something?
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were putting in. Okay, basically, though, with they go in on the video for the Linus Tech Tips. I think we have that up right now. But they go into, like, all the details of how the CRT actually works in relation to a light gun, and it's pretty interesting. It's pretty fascinating. But somebody, the Sinden Light Gun, they have developed the first of its kind, a light gun... peripheral that works with some kind with all kinds of flat panel TVs, 4K, OLEDs, whatever. They tested it on a bunch of stuff and it always worked. And so I know for myself, I can't wait to get together, like, you know, my, the thing that Ed has, the Raspberry Pi, and start loading up on all kinds of just online rail shooter or just on rail shooters. And just, it's, I'm very excited. They have it available right now to purchase, I believe. I think they start sending out in November. So, but I think it's only limited quantities can sign up and purchase it right now, depending on the style. Like, you can buy one gun or two all at once. And then that's the other thing. Two guns work at the same time on this as well. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. they also have, you know, like I brought up Time Crisis. They have a version of the actual peripheral that has a bit of a recoil to it. As well, so you get that feel. Like, only thing I need now is the foot pedal. I might just get like a Rock Band drum kit pedal, and just so I can simulate it. but yeah, I mean, what we're talking about, what's, I think it's 160 if you just want the gun itself, and or maybe that's the recoil price. I think it's 140 for without the recoil, and then like 200. Something dollars if you want it pack. And I don't know, I'm just excited about it. I want to get in on it. I will say I will kind of wait a little bit until I have something that I would use it for, me personally. But yeah, I don't know, what do you guys think? What,
well, what's everyone, so to first... buy it just to put it on a shelf and look at it.
Well, my first question is, did this just get announced?
I don't think so. It's been out for a while. It's okay. Just it's been kind of very like under the radar with
that. Yeah, cuz I hadn't heard of it, and you know, it's funny when we hear about things going on Indiegogo or you know, Kickstarter or something like that. It's always like, okay, this is going to get made. You're going to get this in 2 years. And then I hear about it, and then it sounds like, "Oh, it's shipping in November." So I was like, I thought this was just something that some company was putting out, and you just go buy it.
Jim, you've been burdened by Frosthaven and all that.
Well, not only that, every board game I've ever kickstarted, holy shit! And then,
yeah, let me tell you,
see if oh yeah, no, Nick has the stories there. Even you know, with there's a new RPG and that's coming out on the Switch called Sea of Stars. That's going to take forever to come out. So I mean, yeah, I'm glad to see it coming out soon.
To clarify on pricing a little bit, two recoil guns is $327.
Woo!
That sounds about right.
You were looking at the pounds pricing. Two guns without recoil is $200.
I was what, Mike?
$203 bucks. But I would definitely get them with recoil because, like, that's the experience that I'm used to.
Absolutely. Why would you not get the recoil?
No, you're supposed to. You got to buy the one without the recoil, but break it so that it's supposed to have recoil, but then it doesn't work. Like all arcades really have.
Every arcade all across the nation.
This launched 2 months ago, by the way, on Indiegogo.
Wow. That's a quick turnaround.
14 months ago, 2019.
Where are you seeing that, Justin?
I looked up the Indiegogo. It started May 2019.
Oh, okay.
Even though the first update says 2 months ago. All right, whatever.
No, yeah. Actually, Justin's right. No, it does say here May 14th, 2019.
Oh, that might have been the another first...
platform.
That might have been. Oh, I see. They've
already been getting some cash for this and probably been building it up, getting all the back ends taken care of, getting the molds and all that jazz. So that's probably why it's better.
Yeah, and I'm glad they did the blue and the red, and I know that it looks like they did like the Nintendo green and stuff like that. So or gray, but cool. I mean, this is only a good thing because these types of games and the people who love playing it have really been left out. You know, even if you can absolutely put these things on a Raspberry Pi, but how are you gonna play them? You know, because you're not hooking up a Raspberry Pi to a CRT TV.
Nope. I will say about this though, he does talk about on his website the guy. I don't know exactly what, if it's a team or if it's a guy, so excuse me. But the Sinden light gun people, they talk about how they hope that this can get like you know, gain some speed, get some steam going behind it, and maybe like companies get interested in it, and then maybe new people start developing on-rail shooters again, and maybe get his peripherals for those games. So I think that'd be awesome.
That's super cool, because there are tons of games where this would work for.
Time Crisis 6 win.
I mean, so many. I mean, even beyond, like, you know, old IP, I mean, shoot, this opens up an entire new, you know, platform of gaming. Like, we have VR, which works, you know, fine, but for people who don't necessarily want that, you know, that whole contraption, who don't want that, you know, that whole extra peripheral, you know, that either have issues mm-hmm. with vision, who have issues with, you know, hearing, this is just another way to be able to play those types of games.
Absolutely.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it. So, Nick, what you got? I know you had something.
Well, it was Battletoads, but what I wanted to talk about in retro gaming news is something that's not new that's coming out, but old information, which is the Giga Leak from Nintendo, which has released a bunch of information, but one of the main things that, you know, gets talked around and reverberated throughout the internet is how Super Mario 64. Anybody familiar with this? Anybody know about this?
Never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a fun little retro game.
What happened to the other 63? Do I have to play them to understand it?
Yeah, those came out on the Amiga. So, in Super Mario 64, they did re-release it on the Nintendo DS. And the funny thing about that is that they added three new characters, which you could play as Wario, Yoshi, and Luigi, which is very different from the original, which was just Mario, because it was his game and he's going to get the spotlight, damn it. But what was released through that leak was that Luigi was supposed to be a playable character. They had the models and everything for it, but nobody, they just decided not to put him in there. So, and if you played Super Mario 64, there was a little tablet that you could read that said, what was it? The L is real.
L is real.
L is real. And this was way before Death Note came out, so no one really knew about L from that. So people had their suspicions and everybody tried to, you know, crack it, dig into the files, see what it is. But with that leak, they said, yeah, he was supposed to be in there. They just didn't put him in. So now everybody's trying to figure out why. So if you're talking about another re-release that they need to do is Super Mario 64, but not the Luigi DS version, which had Luigi, but the N64 version, which didn't have Luigi, but add Luigi.
Basically, with this leak, though, all of my grade school friends that had an uncle that worked at Nintendo legitimately probably do have an uncle that works at Nintendo now. That's what I have to believe. Great.
I mean, you know, and I'm not the most familiar with this game, but it also doesn't have Yoshi, correct?
No, it does not.
So then technically,
not as a playable character.
I understand that, but that adds to kind of, you know, what else? And there are tons of games. I mean, Did You Know Gaming has series based on, if, you know, crack getting into the code of the game and finding rooms and names of things and other, you know, characters that weren't necessarily put in the final game that are just stored in there. And so I'm sure there are,
so
you know, dozens upon dozens upon dozens of games that have the capability of storing all this stuff. And then they're like, maybe this aspect, maybe Luigi made the game buggy, you know, who knows?
So I just wanted to say that, like, you guys are talking about rebuilding. Jim may actually appreciate this. Somebody has already taken the leaked source code from Ocarina of Time's development build and rebuilt aspects of the game that were cut and one of them is a completely cut temple that's implied to be what was going to be a Temple of Light.
And I think I heard of something. I heard something like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So to see this stuff, like, it's cool to get it hacked in and everything. But for somebody like me who, like, loves learning about more of the behind the scenes stuff than what's actually on the screen, it's really interesting to see, like, oh yeah, Luigi was going to be in Mario 64 because we found remnants of his hair and a hat. But, like, to find a completely cut dungeon or items that were originally just like, oh, you use a Game Shark, you can look at the medallion as an equipable item. Now we're seeing what that item did. We're seeing what that dungeon looked like in its entirety compared to video clips from 30 years ago at this point.
I mean, did you hear about, and this was a while back now, but did you hear about somebody had bought, I think at like Portland Retro Game Expo, which is a dream. I want to go to that so bad. But somebody had bought just a, I think it was a Xbox dev kit, like the original Xbox. I think he said he bought it for like $50. Because apparently the dev kits for the Xbox are all over the place. But this one had, and he didn't know about it till he opened, you know, cracked, you know, turned it on and started doing some digging. There was a, and it, I think it's the only known one of these, but there is a unreleased South Park game that was being developed on that dev kit. Almost like an open world GTA type South Park game that had, you know, a menus built, who had, I think, like Cartman's basement. Like, that's really all you can do. And I think you can go to the street. And any other time, anytime you try and do anything else or go to anything else on the menu, it would crash it. But I mean, this type of shit is everywhere. It's super cool and super interesting. Yeah, I love Happy Console Gamer. That's where I heard about it. I think Metal Jesus ended up doing a story on it as well. If you're watching the stream, yeah, this was it. Super cool. This stuff interests me. Like, you know, I know Todd and I talk about, you know, things like Defunct Land and things like that are abandoned. I love that stuff. And this is just a whole other concept of that, of just stuff that's forgotten about or stuff that just gets left behind into nothingness. There's something super interesting to me about that. But yeah, that's a super cool aspect, and being able to find hidden things in code that people are able to build entire games off of, like Justin said. I mean, that to me is too cool. I don't know how to do any of that stuff or even wouldn't even be able to come close to having a conversation about it. But yeah, super cool. I like it a lot.
The really interesting thing about this leak, though, is I don't know if you guys know, it came from a Chinese version of the N64 that was like very closed off. And I won't get into the logistics of how it exists, but somebody had taken the memory modules of this and read them and found just years of dump data all the way back from like Super Nintendo to 64 to, I think they even said they found a couple of DS ones on these memory modules. And this is a console that for years was sold in a country that this was all they had to play in 2007. So, wow.
And that's like, you know, it's almost like, again, I hate to bring him up again, but like, I think Metal Jesus has a disk drive, a 64 disk drive. There's so little things that you can do with it, or so little that really is known about it. Just feel like that is super interesting to me. All those forgotten consoles, and you know what could have been if you know, Nintendo and Sony wouldn't have fucked each other over, you know, all those years ago. But yeah, anybody else got any other news?
I think we're good there.
All right, sweet. Hey, Andrew, go ahead and take it away. If unless you want to save yours for the end, we can start talking about our topic, which was if you could play any game for the first time over again. And I know I'm going to have stuff that comes to mind as I'm talking, but I'm sure all of us will have that. But Andrew, if you want to go first, man.
Okay, I can go first just because mine isn't that retro, so I'm probably going to get booed and kicked out of this podcast group.
Hey, you already know that we don't follow a very strict, specific set of rules. And hey,
yeah,
but
the boss is listening.
Oh, God, where's Jeff?
The retro purist going to be upset.
No, again, not a retro purist. Because one of the games I'm going to talk about, I played on the PS4. So wow. Trust me. It's not gonna be as retro as you think, but I got stuff to talk about, but hit it.
Okay, so the game series that I personally wish I could just go back to play all over would have to be the Uncharted series. And it's actually kind of funny for me because my older brother had an original PS3 Fatboy. And one of the first games that he had for it was Uncharted. And I was like, yeah, I hear a lot of good stuff about this. I'll play some Uncharted. And man, I did not enjoy it at all. I was kind of bored, honestly.
We're talking about the first game?
The very first game. I don't recall exactly where I was in the story. I think I might have just like picked up the controller as he walked away and then started playing. But yeah, it didn't really appeal to me. And then about the time, Uncharted 3 or Uncharted 4 started, Uncharted 3 was out and everybody started talking about Uncharted 4. I had to be like, okay, why did they get to 4? What am I missing? it felt pretty, like every other game out there, especially Tomb Raider, of course, So I was kind of like, what did I not see? And so I remember asking, one of our co-hosts, Ed, who couldn't make it the show today, but I did ask him.
Got Corona. I'm joking.
Don't say that. I actually got it tested the other day and came out negative. So
do you get the thing in your nose?
You'll get them next time.
I'll get them next time. I'm gonna pass it. Oh, I did it, and man, it just felt weird. It was uncomfortable, and I got this weird pain in my lower back, and I don't know if that's related to it or not.
That's just because you're 30.
Exactly. anyway.
All right, sorry.
So Ed has the Uncharted collection for the PS4, and I just now got a PS4, and I wanted to start playing different games, and I was running out of stuff to play, and he's like, you can borrow the Uncharted collection. I was like, I don't know. I don't really think I'm going to enjoy it, but sure, why not? And I was living with Nick at the time when I was playing it, and he can attest to I could not stop playing this game. From start to finish, I have to go see what happens next, because I just finished this one firefight. I know if I get into this temple over here or whatever, I'll find something. It was stupid. I will say, even the jet ski part, right? The most hated part of the game.
What I remember.
With the jet ski part in mind, I still love this game. so I can take it at its worst. Go ahead. I was just gonna say that, from there going on to like Uncharted 2, I was just, again, more just like, okay, this story just keeps weaving around and there's so many different twists and whatnot. I got to see who this new character is. Oh, why is this guy an asshole all of a sudden? Why is he, backstabbing Nate or whatever? It was always kind of like, what's the next thing? Let me see it. I need to know, right? And so I burned through 1 and 2, and then I tried to take my time with 3 first. I didn't. I did not.
Four was coming out, and then you decided to start from the beginning.
I decided to start from the beginning. I think I played 3, though. Played a bit of 3, and I know I enjoyed that.
You might have played a bit of 3, because while we were living together, I had 3. So I think you might have played a little bit of it just, to see what I was.
It's like we're all really friends in real life.
Exactly. Yeah. We actually know each other. We're not just paid to be around each other.
You guys are paid?
You guys are around each other?
6 feet, though.
6 feet. Masks.
So, but I think it was that. I think I started with 3 a bit, and I was like, okay, I got to go to 1 and 2, finish 3, and then I could start up with 4. And my goal was to start up with 4 as soon as it, you know, released. And I don't think I met that goal, but I did play 4.
Like, you played through 4, and I think you let me borrow it for a little bit. I eventually bought it, but I still have not gotten past, like, the first chapter. One day I'm going to get back to it. It's in my backlog.
Dude, you got to see how they all, you know, mesh together, how Troy Baker and Nolan North become best friends.
They all mesh together by being in alphabetical order on myself.
Definitely.
So, I kind of have a similar story when it comes to Uncharted. So I, and we're going way back, the company that I, still work for, one year decided to send a bunch of people to E3, and I got to go. And I ended up getting Uncharted 1 for free for something. I can't remember what. But I got Uncharted 1. I played it. I thought it was boring, and I didn't play it again. Kind of like what Andrew said. Uncharted 2 comes out. Uncharted 3 comes out. And I'm like, oh, well, there must be something about these games if they just keep coming out. So when Uncharted 4 came out, I actually was working at a different place because I ended up leaving and then I've come back. And there was one of the guys at work was just talking about how he had just gotten, he left on his lunch break to go to get Uncharted 4. And I was like, all right, man, I guess I have to do this. And I ended up picking it up too. And it was the first time in a long time that I had put a game in and I didn't, it was a Friday and I didn't stop playing it till I beat it on Sunday. About 16 hours or so, a short game, but it's the story was so good. And the game was just so fucking good, that it made me go out and get the Uncharted collection for the PS4. And I played through 1, 2, and 3. I would say 2 and 4 are my favorites, but yeah, it's that series with like God of War, with, you know, that to me, no doubt PlayStation wins the exclusive war over Xbox, and it's headed up by Nathan Drake. And Nathan Drake and I are the only two people still in the world keeping that haircut alive. So,
oh my gosh, yeah.
go Nathan and I.
What a weird flex.
I respect that nice little like side part. My hair is now too long to pull it off, but I respect it.
I will say with the Uncharted 2, I feel like it was just the perfect blend of like cinematic and then, you know, and full on gameplay at the same time, because
I love like, my cinematics.
Because like, yeah, I can play like something by Hideo Kojima and be like, all right, let's finish this cutscene anytime now. Come on.
Hey, stroke yourself well, Hideo. Let's get this going.
Oh, hey, real quick. I said cinematic and it made me think. We missed a huge piece of retro news. G4's coming back?
Oh my god, a huge one! I brought this up too and I forgot it!
It's because we didn't on the other show.
It's good, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
If you are a regular listener to the Ranting Media Universe, it was brought up during Ranton. I won't touch on it long enough. And G4 for me was never a channel that I really paid that much attention to outside of watching MXC. I never watched that. I think I watched cinematic. I think that was my thing. And then when they played reruns of MXC, the greatest game show of all time, that was where I watched that. But yeah, cool. It's coming back. We don't have to spend a ton of time on it. I think it's cool. Hopefully those people get jobs again.
I'm wondering what aspect is it coming back? Is it a YouTube channel? Is it a full-on network channel?
Like a fucking, you know, Quibi show called G4.
Oh, yeah.
The rumor is it's going to be like a subset of Peacock.
Oh.
What is that?
NBC's streaming service, because if you recall, NBC is owned by Comcast. G4 is owned by Comcast.
Yeah,
Adam Sessler has said he has nothing to do with it.
And, oh no!
Morgan Webb was surprised that somebody remembered the Twitter login.
Right, and then Kevin Pereira hasn't mentioned anything, and nobody wants Olivia Munn. So
Blair Herter is involved though, and surprisingly, I think he's still an exec or something.
Blair Herter is also like mostly on Nerdist News because of his wife. So,
and yeah. Tommy Tallarico, where is he?
Doing that concert series, Video Game Live.
Nah, he needs to get back on G4. Get some eyes on him, actually.
That's great. So
sorry, yeah, didn't mean to devolve into the news.
No worries, no. But yeah, Uncharted for sure. That would be the one game that I wish I could play again for the first time. However, my fiance is actually, she just downloaded the Uncharted Collection because it was given out for free on PlayStation. And so she downloaded and installed it onto her PlayStation. So I get to live vicariously through her, and I'm very excited about that. She just has to finish Horizon Zero Dawn. So I'll see you guys in 2021.
that game's not that long. I think I beat it in like 40 hours.
Horizon. Yeah, she's
beat it
her
or
time.
Completed the story.
Exactly, because she's going for everything. She's even doing the challenges that I never saw. Like, I never did any challenges. She's doing those.
I did lots of challenges. I completed the story. The story ended. The credits rolled. I'm not getting into this argument again. To me, I beat the game.
Congrats. Ooh, I have yet to do that.
Whatever, losers. who's next? Who wants to grab the reins next?
I'll go, I guess. So I personally would love to have gone back and replayed Final Fantasy from the beginning. Specifically 6, but all of them. Just in general.
Can I get some clarification? By 6, you mean 3, correct?
Yes. All
right,
sorry.
Just making sure I got the right video.
He's going real, like, I refer to it as 6, which is the Japanese version of it. Yes.
So,
Final Fantasy.
Mythic Quest, guys, come on.
So real. That's a good callback.
So, I played a little bit of 4, or 2 in America, sorry, on a Super Nintendo at a babysitter's house and was, like, in love with the story. But I never got to beat it. And it wasn't until years later I got a PlayStation 1. And my dad, for whatever reason, got me Final Fantasy Anthology that had Final Fantasy 5 and 6 in it. Now, 5 is tough. Took my 10-year-old brain too long to figure it out. Because it's class-based and everything, but 6 reeled me in. And to play it and to be enveloped in that world and to see that world through the eyes of, like, what is this? What's going on? And to experience that story, which at my 10-year-old mind was blown. And then I went through and Final Fantasy 7, amazing. And I cannot get over just how expansive these worlds felt in a package that was so small at the time. And yeah, it's one of my favorite franchises. I'll always support it. Square Enix could fart out Final Fantasy VII Part 3 and I'll still pay $60 like I had to play it.
Every time. Refrigerator.
Getting token.
Yes, I would play it on a Samsung refrigerator. I will download it if I could. That's it. I juggled that and Pokemon for a while. But I think Final Fantasy defines a lot of who I am as a gamer and as an adult, and was my break of, like, oh, video games are just a cool thing to do and sit on the bus, and dove me into, like, story building and made me want to, like, learn how that small world became so much larger. And 10, I think, is one of the first games that one summer after school I maxed a clock out and it wouldn't go any higher, and I didn't know that was a thing you could do, was have 999 hours in a video game, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, and it's still on a memory card in my closet. And I just, that franchise to me will always be like my exodus into a bigger gaming world, and to relive that amazement as a child again, I don't know, I couldn't ever be who I am without it.
Did you ever play 6 on the Game Boy Advance?
So I did.
Why do people think that that's the definitive way to play the game? It's almost like this, and I'm not comparing the games at all, but like the original Yoshi's Island. People say to play that on the Game Boy Advance more so than the SNES.
It's because it's a couple of things. I personally don't like it because the soundtrack is severely downsampled.
Sure. And that's one of the, me, when I think of that game, that's the number one thing I think of.
So it's not as easily acquired as the PlayStation version, but not as hard to find as the Super Nintendo version. It retains all of the graphical upgrades and like cleanups minus the full motion videos they did to the PlayStation version, but it has a worse soundtrack and it's got added like bonus bosses and a completely separate side dungeon. Like that game is in all intents and purposes, it's the definitive package of six. But the problem is people don't like the fact the soundtrack sounds like it's muffled garbage because it's this, if you've never heard the soundtrack for six, it's amazing. Recommend it. Terra's Theme Alone, still one of my favorite video game songs of all time.
It's phenomenal, yeah.
It's just severely downsampled. It's meant to be heard like on a stereo or on headphones, and they had to fit it onto, you know, a Game Boy cartridge. So I still like have emulators of specifically Six Advance, but it's not the preferred way to play it. If you can find the Super Nintendo copy of three, obviously that's the way to play it. But the translation's really messy and doesn't hold up as well. I'd still play that over the PlayStation version, especially. But if you can find the Game Boy version and you want a portable version, join me on Twitter as I hashtag re-release Final Fantasy VI on Switch, because god damn it, that's the one I want. Because yeah, we've gotten four releases of four before six, and I think six is the strongest one of the pre-seven era.
Oh, sure. I mean, it is my second favorite Final Fantasy game. I go back and forth between it being number one and number two, but it's phenomenal. I'm not saying how to do this. I'm just saying how I've played it, but I've got it on my RG350. I'm sure, you know, you can get it on any form of emulator machine and it'll run perfectly fine. But this is the whole package. I agree with Justin 100%. This game is music. This game is story. There are some laugh out loud moments. There are some heartbreak moments. But absolutely, man, I agree 100%. That's a killer game.
So I would ask, you know, since Justin is probably one of the only other people in this podcast right now that has played it, if they were to release a Final Fantasy VI/3 remake in the style of 7, I know we talked about this before, but would you be in for that, Justin? Because they would do everything differently. I'm telling you right now, everything's going to be different.
If it meant experiencing the back half of that game, absolutely. That game, as much as I love the gameplay, it's the story that keeps it number one. It's the fact that, spoiler alert for a 30-year-old game, it's not a story of saving the world because of, we feel like we're entrusted to. It's saving the world because we fucked up and killed it. At a certain point, we let the villain win, and now we're making up for our past sins. And it's that it's, if I could experience that with voices and in the style of, I'll deal with the 7 remake gameplay if it means experiencing that. just don't do what you did with 7 story and try to retcon certain things. But
everything. I have a question.
Yeah,
is this Final Fantasy the one where the guy suplexes the train?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, so that's all you had to say to sell it.
That's all I know about this game.
No, sell a suplex. Like, you know, sell everything from Brock Lesnar.
And don't spoil Final Fantasy VII for me, because I gotta wait another 10 years for part 2 and 3 and 5 and 7. And
I mean, I mean, is that how you want to play the game? Is you gotta play that remake?
Why wouldn't I?
Well, because the story is different.
How different? Said.
I don't know. I haven't played it.
The only reason why I say that is because 7 is available readily in so many.
Isn't 7, you know, Fern Gully though?
Not wrong.
Okay, so yes. I understand the basic concept, so it doesn't matter which version I play. Don't fuck with the earth. Guy has super long sword. He stabs flower girl.
Can you agree with me that anybody who has not played the original Seven should at least experience the story, whether it's a watch through before playing remake?
I guess I can't say anything without giving so much away.
And Cloud is really some guy named Zach, who also banged Aerith.
But don't worry, his spirit is trapped in the sword.
In the Buster Sword.
Yeah.
But not the sword that breaks apart in that movie that was bad.
Advent Children.
Oh, Advent Children? I liked Advent
and then
Children.
There was these three other guys that wore suits with a vaguely racist name as a group that had their own spinoff game and a mobile game. And then there was a animal that talked, and there's a vampire that also had his own game.
An animal that talks that rides on another animal, but then you have a talking dog, and they all go out and solve mysteries.
Well, one is Kate Sith, right?
Gotcha.
I don't remember how to say it. So the other one's like Red 22, I don't know.
So Kate Sith is a cat who rides a robot. For God's sakes, they're not animals.
And then there's a vampire that wears red.
Todd, go play eight like.
Oh,
a
you're talking
fan.
About Sephiroth?
Yes,
because he's pretty much a vampire, right?
And then there's the Genovia. Oh wait, that's Princess Diaries.
Genovia? No, that's the Accords.
No, that's Geneva. And then
you're thinking the Sokova Accords.
And then don't. Right. And then the whole point is don't fuck with the environment.
Yeah, it's basically Godzilla.
And then there's Bahamut in there because Bahamut has to be in every game.
Every game.
Is Shiva in there?
Shiva's in there. Yes.
All right. That's my favorite one.
We go to the next person, please.
When you play Seven, it'll be your favorite.
you see more of her titties than 15.
All those straight angles, man. Ooh.
All right, moving on.
The best Final Fantasy VII cosplayer, I'll end this, is Trisha Hershberger. She wins everything.
Okay.
Moving on. I guess I'll go. If you guys are cool with that?
Yeah, I'm cool with that, boss.
Oh, God. I hate it. Nope. I want Nick to go.
Whatever you say, sir. All right, so.
No, I hate it.
Like, mine is kind of a twofer because one kind of leads into the other. One game that I wish I could play again for the first time is going to be Toe Jam and Earl. And I'm not talking about the one that was released like 2 years ago, and I'm not talking about the one that was released for the Xbox like way yonder. And I'm talking about original Genesis Toe Jam and Earl. But I can't experience it by myself for the first time. It has to be like with my brother or somebody else, like both of us going in fresh and trying to figure out everything about that game and trying to understand what is going on. Why are these aliens like so damn funny and funky?
Aren't they from Funkatron?
Yeah.
And, there's your reason right there.
I mean, how does the Sega Genesis put out such good music like Toe Jam and Earl? Because you guys can talk about your Final Fantasies and, you know, oh, the soundtrack is great, blah, blah, blah.
Classics.
Yeah. Oh, man, they put a French horn on a fucking cartridge. Great. But me, when I hear, like, the opening to Toe Jam and Earl, or any time that you get into an elevator on it and like those beats just hit, like you put down the controller and you just start like beatboxing with it or like tapping the toes.
Does it feel hard?
Oh, hell, you're
straight
vibing. Yes.
You're vibing, dog.
Straight vibing.
So, like, all right. That is a game I wish I could play for the first time again. But that kind of leads me into my second one, which is it's not a game per se, but a service. Sega Channel.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Here's the I had Sega Channel.
So,
oh, great.
I had Sega Channel for the hot 3 months because I didn't even have cable. But for some reason, my folks, as generous as they are, said, yeah, I'm going to plug in this system into the wall and then let's see what happens. So once we got Sega Channel, the world opened up to me. I didn't have to go to Blockbuster ever again for 3 months. And
hey, so, can I interrupt you real quick? So,
go ahead.
If you're curious what my wife screamed at the top of her lung, she saw a bug. So it was a roach.
Yeah, that's the difference.
So I apologize, Nick.
That's
I did not
the
mean
Sega interrupt. Difference.
So move on. Yeah, go on.
I had a Sega channel, so I know. Yeah. I know the awesomeness that you're talking about.
Oh hell yeah!
Like, you had it for more than 3 months.
I had it for like a year, and actually
a fucking year.
Yeah,
well, that's where your college fund went, boy.
I just remember it not working, and my parents were still paying for it, and Comcast never told them that the service died like 3 months prior.
Oh, that sounds like a suit. But yeah, so I had Sega Channel, and like for the little bit, like I didn't know that there was a Toe Jam and Earl 2, and I found that out on Sega Channel. But it was a vastly different game from the first one, so don't even like waste your time with it. But I tried out. Yeah, if you look at the stream, you can see they had games like Echo the Dolphin, Beavis and Butthead, Jurassic Park. All of them.
Those are the classics you shout out.
Oh. No, I mean literally. Yeah, you got Phantasy Star 2, Shining Force.
Guys, so many great games. He's forgetting the best one, Jurassic Park. Rampage Edition.
Oh, no.
Oh, Rampage Edition. All right, see, all right, so I'm not looking at this through the guise of a 30-year-old man. I'm looking at it like this is what I played as a child.
Okay.
And I saw Beavis and Butthead, hell yeah,
oh,
they say damn on television. These kids are cool. So I played that, and Jurassic Park. Again, as like a 7-year-old boy, yeah, dinosaurs, obviously.
Can I real quick, because I actually had Jurassic Park on the Sega Genesis, and I have to double check that we're talking about the same one. That the one where you can play as either Alan Grant or a Velociraptor?
That's yes. Rampage Edition. I
yeah, I was gonna say, I think so.
No, because I didn't have Rampage Edition. I had Jurassic Park just. That's it, right? And yeah, you can play as either. And it was fantastic.
The one that you're thinking of, was it the like isometric shooter, or was it the
side scroller
left to right, but you could go backwards. So
all right, no, I played the one that was the isometric shooter,
and boo.
It was very boo.
which one is Rampage Edition? I remember having a cartridge that said Rampage Edition. I'm trying to remember which one that is.
Isn't that
are you sure you didn't just play the game Rampage?
I was just about to say that.
No.
You played as Lizzie and said, this must be Jurassic Park. Spielberg, you did it again.
Hold on.
Wow. It's like
we got Jurassic Park at home.
That's great.
Oh, it was the same gameplay of the original, just the sequel. Never mind. I have
so that. Okay, yeah, because I remember playing mine, and like the whenever you did the Sega logo in the beginning on startup, it did so it didn't do that. It was the T-Rex facing forward, and it was him just going Sega in his little like T-Rex roar. So yeah,
you roared Sega.
Oh yeah, no, it came out like Sega.
Huh.
It was cool. So, okay, now I'm seeing the live stream, and yeah, this is somewhat similar to what I played.
played that.
This is nothing like what I played. This yeah, looks this fun.
Hey, the I can't remember. I think it might have been just called Jurassic Park, but like the first Jurassic Park game I ever played was on the Master System, and it was way late in the obviously in the run of the Master System, so it was good. But yeah, I loved that game, and I think it might have been just this game, just on the Master System, and not you know way more advanced than on the Genesis, so
yeah.
Or the Mark III if you're listening in Europe. But yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, did yeah, you played the new Toe Jam and Earl game that came out?
Yes.
For the Switch?
Man. Played, beat, played again, beat again, played again. Yeah, I did.
Worth it 100%?
Oh, yeah. I fucking love Toe Jam and Earl.
I own it physically, and I've not opened it.
I actually played a few of the floors, I guess is the best way to say it, because I guess they are levels. I don't know. But yeah, I played it with him and like did the co-op bit with him. And yeah, it's pretty spot on.
Yeah, but it's definitely a game that you have to play with somebody. Like they have it's like classic co-op game. Just playing it by yourself, yeah, you can play it and I guess understand it, but if you play with somebody else, then the experience is just like miles better. It's like watching Tropic Thunder by yourself with, and then yeah, watching it with friends.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty great. Yeah. I will say my favorite part of any Toe Jam and Earl that I have played though is the presence and seeing what you know what happens when you open one and you use it. Talking first time opening up a present.
Yes.
Is there something you can think of?
Obviously, it's the rocket skates.
Yeah.
All right. So those, like you open up a present, and every time that you like start up the game, I think it's only for the new one for the original that the present stayed the same. So if you could memorize what a present looked like, you knew what was in it. But every time that you started a fresh game, all the presents except for like two of them that you start out with, they will be unmarked until you open it for the first time. And the funny thing about Toe Jam and Earl is every quote level is a basic plane and it's only limited to a certain area. And if you go over the edge, as my flat earthers will attest, you will fall off. And you will fall to
Globe cucks.
So you will fall to the previous level if like space will catch you or you could keep falling. But one of the funny present that you open up is rocket skates, which as soon as you open it up, it doesn't give you any kind of prompt to say, do you want to use this? You just put them on and then they zip you just wherever and they have no brakes. So you will, unless you are pretty precise with that D-pad, yeah, you are falling off the level. And then once you land on the previous level, the rocket skates are still on your feet. So it will shoot you off again.
The next level.
So that's one of the great things about that. And you have other different types, like you can tomato slingshot, or you have spring shoes, boom boxes, just all kinds of stupid gadgets. And it was like a perfect game.
I will say one of my favorite things too with the idea of the co-op was that you could be on a different floor than the other person you're playing with. Right. Mm-hmm. And you're still playing it, where a lot of other Sega games in a co-op scenario, you could only go as far as the other person let you. You know?
Yeah. So, like you have to stay on the same screen. And there are some games where, as the two characters would move away from each other, like the screen would widen and then, but everything gets smaller. But this one was the first game that I've ever played that, you know, it changed up to split screen. So you could have one game experience while somebody else is having a completely different game experience. And another funny thing is that you could upgrade yourself with different levels, but all the levels were like slight insults to you, so it will call you a doofus or a Poindexter or
I
something.
I remember that. I love it.
I learned like some insults so I could tell my brother, and then we just start snickering at each other every time we call each other a doofus, and we thought we were the hottest shits on the block.
Don't mess with those kids.
Yeah, he called. Oh man, he called me a wiener, and I was like, "Oh God, devastated."
They got those dang Toe Jam and Earl insults.
There you go.
Cool. I'm glad you thought outside the box and got real with it. It's not that I don't think any of us are embarrassed by these answers, but I'm glad you went real with it. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say,
what do you mean, real.
Maybe not. That's not the right word. Maybe it's just, you know, what you really played when you were a kid. Like the games that I'm going to talk about, I certainly played, but like there were tons of games that I loved playing. I love Snowboard Kids. Holy fucking shit, Snowboard Kids. But I'm not going to talk about that right now because it's, you know, I have very specific memories that are very much left in the 90s with that, you know, great game from Atlus. So,
and we will talk about them at some point.
I actually want to do, and I think I've mentioned this, I want to do an episode where I talk to my sister about Snowboard Kids.
I think you've mentioned this every episode, and it's going to be the hypest season finale anybody's ever.
Season one today, we have Jim's sister talking about an obscure N64 game.
I haven't talked to her about doing that, and she's not like the most social person in the world, so I doubt she'd do it, but you know, hopefully. I know she's not listening to this, so.
Nice. Ouch. I just want to say, like, I love that everyone's answers were so like personalized, and I juggled Pokemon for so hard.
What happened to that?
Yeah, I told you I had some zingers lined up, and like you threw it way out the park. So talking about Final Fantasy.
As much as I love Pokemon, I mean, I'm playing it right now. Final Fantasy, I wouldn't have discovered Pokemon if it wasn't for Final Fantasy. And I'm driving home thinking about that. Like, I love Pokemon. Don't get me wrong. I have over 200 hours in Sword and Shield. I play that game more than I've played anything else. But Final Fantasy was my entry into those types of games. Games that weren't good platformers. It was,
RPGs, man.
Yeah, exactly that. It was an RPG.
Mm-hmm. Like, because I was thinking about choosing, like, what's the name of that? Tales of Symphonia. Because I think I've said it before, that was the first JRPG that I actually fully completed. And I mean completed.
I have Tales of Vesperia. I've never played a Tales game. I have Tales of Vesperia for the Switch. And I got like an hour in. I just cannot find the sweet spot with that game.
So I've tried Tales of Abyss, I think that's it, and Tales of Vesperia, and for some reason they didn't click as well as Symphonia did. I cannot figure out why. Maybe it's just how it's presented. And if you tried Symphonia, you might not have the same experience that I did. So
I've never tried Symphonia.
But I don't know. Maybe it was just that sweet spot of the year when I tried it, and like I could not put it down till it was gone. Like it was rented from Blockbuster, returned, and then I bought it from Walmart.
Todd, man, what you got?
I got two, and they're pretty simple. Mass Effect.
That's a great answer.
Yep.
The first one, or just the series in general?
I mean, to be honest, the best one is two.
I think that's what everybody agrees with.
Now playing number one pisses me off. because now I didn't realize... Well, yeah, that for one.
The Mako? It's the Mako, isn't it?
That's part of it. But I didn't realize, because I was a stupid kid, when this came out, but still, that I didn't realize that the elevators were the loading section.
Yes.
But now every time I realize why I'm hitting an elevator over and over and over, I'm just like, I hate this part.
But you're telling me your elevators don't last 10 seconds on your PC there?
I haven't played Mass Effect 1 on my PC. Nowadays, if I, the last time I attempted to play this series was years and years ago, but I did, I started straight with Mass Effect 2. I did the Genesis comic book thing, and then started playing. But then I realized you can't perfect 2 if you do the Genesis thing.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because you don't get, I don't remember what it was exactly, but because I remember there's one conflict in 2 that always used to screw me over. It was Jack and Miranda. They were fighting each other. Yeah, they screwed
you over.
Yeah, I mean, always Miranda. And then I learned, I used to always do Paragon runs. I never did Renegade. And then somebody pointed out, in order to get through that conflict correctly and save everyone, you either have to be pure Paragon or pure Renegade. And it's harder to be pure Paragon. So I just started killing everyone in Renegade, and I beat it all the way through. But that series really did a lot for me. It was like, oh, cool, sci-fi, other than like Star Wars. And then my other one is KOTOR. I was not a Star Wars fan up until Knights of the Old Republic. And I have no idea why I bought it. I probably rented it, to be honest with you. But Knights of the Old Republic got me into Star Wars because I played this. I played KOTOR 2. And then I played Republic Commando.
Oh, God.
I played those three before... I played those three games before I'd even watched the original movies.
Dude, oh, Republic Commando is awesome, though.
Republic Commando is great, and I wish they'd remake it. But so, that's what got me in. That's what got me into Star Wars, because I had watched the prequels, or whatever prequel was out at that point, because I think 1 and 2 were out when Knights of the Old Republic came out, and then I think 3 came out after, I think.
Well, Todd, let me ask you this. Yeah. If through an unbiased eye, if I went to go play KOTOR right now in 2020, did I have a good time?
Yes. KOTOR 1, yes. There's a major problem with KOTOR 2, and that's the first 2 hours.
Yep.
I mean, I have way more than that. Holy
technical
shit.
Technical or story-wise?
Kind of both. It kind of So the first part of KOTOR 2 is called the Paragus. No, yes. Paragus Binding Base or some shit like that. And you're stuck there for a good 2 hours.
And you can't yet to get out of that. And I've owned the game for like 5 years.
There are mods to skip it if you really want to. But no, I really like KOTOR 1 to this day. I'd replay it now. And it actually kind of gets better for me as I've gotten older, because I didn't realize that it was basically D&D because you're rolling for hits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
If you notice, the numbers that pop up are random every time you strike at somebody, and you have chances to hit, and you have all, and you have armor and all that shit. I didn't realize that as a kid. I just thought it was just whacking at somebody over and over, because I just did the same move over and over and over. I just did parry, which was like 3 hits and you back away. But as I've gotten older, I've appreciated that battle system a lot more. I'll probably be replaying it. And we talked about this on the last episode. KOTOR got an update like last year to support 4K monitors. So it scales correctly.
I was going to ask you this, Todd, because I've noticed it, and now it's in the back of my head. Both of your games were developed by BioWare.
Correct.
Favorite developer?
Yeah, probably. BioWare, whenever I was a kid, it was Rare, because like I was a Donkey Kong kid. But as I've gotten older, it's been BioWare. That's why Mass Effect Andromeda really hurt my soul. And what was that other game that they put out since then? Anthem hurt my soul because they're just both garbage.
Now, granted, on that, boys.
Now, granted,
no, there's a
Andromeda's gotten better.
There's a BioWare series that you're not talking about.
Jade Empire?
No.
That's not a series. That's one. You're talking about Dragon Age?
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I've only played one of them. Really? And it was like the third one. It was Inquisition.
Okay.
Which I think is the most recent one.
Yeah, it is.
I enjoyed it. I didn't get through it. I was either underleveled or overleveled. I couldn't tell how the leveling system worked, because whenever I say overleveled, if you think about Final Fantasy VIII, leveling up is the worst thing for you to do.
Because it all scales with you.
Everything scales with you, because you can beat the game at level 7. Like, I've done it multiple times. But I couldn't tell, and I got in this one fight, and I just couldn't get out of it, and I didn't have any manual saves, so I couldn't go back. So it was just like, restart the whole fucking game. And that was not something I felt like doing. I saw everything I liked in Mass Effect in that game. It frustrated me, and I gave up on it. I'd probably go back to it at this point.
There is a game you're not talking about from BioWare, Sonic and the Dark Chronicle.
Oh, dear God.
Was that a Wii game?
I was about to say, that sounds like portable. Yeah, that was probably BioWare Austin or some shit, not the Canadian one that did the big games.
Canada.
Hey, gaming's apparently making games is cheaper there, and movies. But yeah, that BioWare probably is my top developer of my teens, because Mass Effect, for all of its screwing you over in the third game, was an amazing series, and it actually felt like choices mattered. And that was something we didn't see, because we were used to Final Fantasy, where it was just a linear path. And all games at that point were really linear. So that's why I really enjoyed Mass Effect. So those are my games.
It sucks, because I never really got super into Mass Effect. It's funny, I bought the collection on PS3, never did anything with it. It's now that you say it, I literally could live what you want to live. I could play it for the first time.
Yes, but he has to watch you play it.
Yes, I do. But like I said,
critical eye.
One does not age well.
No.
Yeah, and I've heard that just watch the movie that I think somebody made like an hour and a half or 2 hour long movie.
I mean, the Genesis thing is fucking awesome, but I gotta research it to see if that fucks you out of complete 100%ing.
I don't think so, because it was released for the PS3 version, which I played it on, and I've never completed a Renegade run of 2. Last I checked, I was able to get like 100%.
You saved everyone.
Yes, but I didn't realize what I had done to save them until after the game was done. They were like, the trophy pops where it's like, you complete the suicide mission without killing anyone. I'm like, oh, that's a thing? Okay.
Yeah, so, like I said, one doesn't age well. Two is one of those rare, like, 10 out of 10 masterpiece games for me. And then three kind of shit the bed. Once you add in all the DLC, because they put a ton of DLC out for Mass Effect 3, it raises it quite a bit. But the original out-of-the-box experience made me want to just rage quit completely. But Jim, I think you should try it. I think you should.
I'd like to. But you mentioned, my love of KOTOR is legendary. It's one of my top 5 favorite games of all time. It's fantastic. It's one I was going to bring up, during this whole thing.
I've never heard you talk about it ever.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Made the second one?
Obsidian Software. The guys who did Fallout New Vegas, and I don't know what they're doing now.
That's the thing about the second one. South Park and Outer Worlds. Oh, yeah.
And Outer Worlds.
The thing is, the second one should be awesome, because those are the best. That's the best Fallout game. That's but the fact that you have to like constantly check in on people to see how they feel and how they're doing, or else,
I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to bang them, yeah, you do need to.
Well, no, if you want to, if you want to get the most out of that relationship, I mean, that's what you've got to do. You mentioned a game series that I have not ever played, but I've been super interested in playing, and that's the Dragon Age games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know why they haven't. I'm surprised. Let me rephrase that. I'm surprised they haven't done a re-release on of all of them, because I know it's Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age Origins 2, and then Inquisition. Those are the three main games.
I'm pretty sure they're all on PC.
And they are, and they for sure are. I'm just surprised they haven't done like a big Switch rehash of all of them. Not saying I need it on the Switch, but those games could, because also the reason why I say that is I read a Dragon Age book that was phenomenal, and from what I've understood, the Dragon Age tabletop RPG is like one of the best tabletop RPGs.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And so I've never, I don't think I've ever just had the time to put towards that game, but I might see how much that costs, to be honest.
So Dragon Age is one of Kristen, my fiance's favorite series, and she is constantly trying to get me to play just even Inquisition. And it's like, I tried. I saw it, I got it, but I was like, it's a slow burn start kind of scenario, right? I imagine it really picks up once it starts going, but man, it just takes forever with Inquisition. So I don't know. I can't speak for the other ones. I know a lot of people love them, you know.
It was one of my favorite games.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love Dragon Age 2. One doesn't hold up well, in my opinion, but 2 is great.
I haven't played any of the Dragon Age games, so I don't know.
Do you need to play them all? That was my question.
I don't think so. They're... Like, I got the gist whenever I started Inquisition.
One and two are strongly connected. There are characters from those two that appear in 3 or in Inquisition, but there is a proper sequel to 1 and 2 coming out? Question mark. It got announced a year ago.
Yeah, oh no, it was like a few years ago actually, because we were watching the Game Awards, and it was when me and Nick were still living with each other, and with the Game Awards on, Kristen was over, and I remember they did one of the world premiere trailers, and it was just a little teaser for Dragon Age 4, and both me and Nick are like, what the hell is this game? But she is like flipping out, like,
she knew like as soon as the trailer started what it was.
Yeah,
while
like,
both of us were just like, What's going on? Is this some new like Funko Pop game that they're
pretty much?
Oh,
so the people that love Dragon Age, they love Dragon Age. I'll say that.
So, Andrew, I was gonna say, here's what you need to do: just watch all the Dragon Age cutscenes on YouTube. But then for your anniversary, just say, "Hey, babe, what?" Like, I did a super thing for you, is while you weren't looking, I was playing these games. They're as good as you say.
Let's go
over a few of the story beats, but say, oh, I can't show you like my progress. I deleted the game, had to make room for like Red Dead.
So, no, for him, it'd be Persona again, right?
It would. Well, I still have both Persona games on my PlayStation, so I'm good. Yeah, I have the original and Royal on the PlayStation 4 on the same hard drive. Yeah, what do you want?
That's
all right.
Concerning.
To give you an update, there's a Dragon Age Origins Ultimate Edition on GOG. I'm not looking at Steam right now. I'll look at Steam in a little bit, but I guess this is the first game. Justin said is not worth it, and it's $5.
It's worth $5.
They're all about that.
Yeah, okay.
From what I've seen, they're pretty cheap. Inquisition might be the only one that might be like, you know, maybe I'll wait for a deeper sale, but
you know, all right, so I just bought KOTOR 1 and 2 on GOG, and I'm installing it now. So we're going to see in, let's see, if I go through my backlog, we'll see in 2022 how good Knights of the Old
Republic holds up. And just to, I'm sure you just saw it because I'm on GOG too. There's a big RPG sale right now. I'm actually buying Ease, the Oath of Fel'Ghana, which was a Vita title, for $4.50. So, yeah, if RPGs are your thing right now, GOG's has got it pretty cheap.
Holy hell, nice.
Well, Jim, is that the game that you would say would be the one that you played?
No, because I've never played this game. I've never played this game before. So,
it's 50 cents, guys. Baldur's Gate is 50 cents.
What is
Baldur's Gate?
Baldur's Gate.
I don't like Baldur's
Gate. Oh, I have. Oh, I bought the Banner Saga trilogy for like $8 on the Switch physical, and I literally haven't even opened it yet before they discontinued it. Anyways. So my game, if you know me, this isn't super surprising. If you know, even if you've listened to this podcast so far, you kind of know what I'm going to bring up. And for me, it's Link's Awakening, the DX version of Link's Awakening for the Game Boy Color. To me, I'm a handheld guy. I love handheld gaming. It's the reason why my favorite system is the Nintendo Switch. It's the reason why I love, you know, being able to, you know, I shy away from buying games on the PC just because I can't really take that with me. Because I do, man. I like to go to coffee shops and sit and play video games and all those things. But
if only they made portable computers.
If there was something that like sat in your lap,
hold on,
you know?
hold on,
could set it on a surface.
I think they're called spiral computers.
They're called Apple Newtons.
Oh yeah,
well done. You done now?
If there was a pad that you could just write these things down on.
anyway. I have a MacBook like from five years old that
yeah,
well,
we're talking
from
about
Justin.
Games.
Yeah, we're, yeah.
All right.
Mac, don't do games.
We can. I can end it. I mean, I can end it. Link's Awakening. That's it. I'm done. you know, it's when I played that game, it was not the first Zelda game I had ever played. The first Zelda game I had ever played was Ocarina of Time, and I really liked that game. And so when I had got a Game Boy Color, and I had seen that there was, you know, there were some Zelda games. I think there was like a Link's Awakening port, maybe. But there, you know, and I was like, oh, what's Link's Awakening? I don't know what this, or Link to the Past, rather. Sorry, but then I saw Link's Awakening, and I remember talking to my cousin, the same cousin who I bring up in like every episode, and he was like, that's the Zelda game to play. Because it's so weird and different and not like you know, the normal Zeldas. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I got Link's Awakening, and it's so, if you're watching the stream right now, there's gameplay from both the original DX version, not the original DX, but the DX version and then the Switch remake. And they have such a charm to them. They're not overly challenging, but they're, for, you know, a 9-year-old, they're and a 10-year-old, they're challenging enough to the point that you're going to struggle with it. The storyline is fantastic. If you don't know anything about it, I won't spill everything, but basically you wake up in a wind fish's dream, and you got to figure out how to get out. And so there's no Zelda, there's no Ganon, there's nothing like that. It's just such a weird out there storyline, and later on I've learned that, you know, when they were making this game, a lot of the developers were obsessed with Twin Peaks, which totally explains the story of this game and how friggin', you know, like a drug haze coma, you know, the game is. So I sort of did get to relive, I got my wish, I did get to relive playing this game all over again with the Switch remake, which is, you know, fantastic. it's one of my favorite games on the Switch. I think everybody should play this. Not to disparage Breath of the Wild, because Breath of the Wild is a game masterpiece. It's massive. It's this huge achievement for Nintendo. But as far as if you gave me here, play Breath of the Wild or play Link's Awakening right now, I'm probably going to play Link's Awakening. It's not nearly as daunting as Breath of the Wild is. And it just has this charm that most Zelda games don't have. In fact, I'd say the only thing that kind of is with it is Wind Waker. And you might be sensing a pattern that they're graphically childish, cartoony, you know, cel shaded, whatever. But I also love my little Link from the Switch remake of Link's Awakening, little
amiibo,
amiibo that I have never opened. I love the way that it looks. So,
well, you never opened yours?
I haven't, and that's the thing is I know that I've sent the picture out to some people, but I have a massive Link's Awakening collection. I have the CD soundtrack that is so good. I have the 7-Eleven cups that were only available in Canada. Like I love this series. I love this game. I want more of it. We talked about novelizations of games. If they came out with a friggin' novelization of this, I would get it day one. But yeah, I love this game. And then there are so many other games that I could talk about. You know, Grand Theft Auto 3 changed how I look at video games. Dead Space, a horror game that I don't think gets nearly enough love. Dead Space 1 is so freaking good. But the other game, and it's not super retro, kind of to talk about what Andrew was talking about earlier. I definitely played it on the PlayStation 4, but the story just hooked me immediately. And it had me laughing out loud. It had me, tearing up in some spots, and y'all make fun of me for it, and that's fine. And I understand, but it's Life is Strange. That game is such, I don't care. The soundtrack is incredible. The storyline is great. It's a walking simulator, but to me, I would put it in as a, again, you're going to freak out. I would put it in as a top 10 Square Enix game. Square Enix is, you know, obviously legendary, but it's a top 10 game for me for them. It's such a great story, and it's everything that I want in video games, and to be able to relive it again, you know, would be great. They came out with a prequel for it. They've come out with a sequel, and I know there's one that they are launching, I think, as an Xbox Series X exclusive.
Are they really?
Yeah, but it's not a Life is Strange.
It's the same people. I'm sorry, it's Don't Nod. It's the same
Don't
people.
Nod, yeah, that's all it is.
But it reminds me, it took what Heavy Rain started, which was another game that I love, and let you build off of that with a much more, you know, intriguing storyline. I absolutely love it. I think it's fantastic. I know I listed probably another couple games with you, Todd, but yeah, it's one other one that wasn't brought up, the first Bioshocking. Waking up in that ocean, you know, with the fire all around you from the plane crash, and then when am I blanking on the freaking name? Rapture. When Rapture is kind of shown to you for the first time, and even though it's pretty dated now, that visual of it just kind of opening up, there's nothing quite like it. It's fantastic. The storyline is great. Bioshock 2 was a misstep in my opinion, but Infinite, they got it back on track with Infinite. Well,
Bioshock 2 was a different company.
Different company, yes. I completely understand that. When I look at that, I just kind of look at the series.
You say, but that same year, Assassin's Creed 1 came out, and just I think back to that. And
anyway, I need to get the remastered version of it on the Switch. I know. Hey, if you're interested in Bioshock, you've never played it, you've never really experienced it. On our Facebook page, David has been playing through it, and I think he's got a complete game of it now, right, Todd?
Yeah, he finished the first one.
Okay, so you can watch the whole thing. David played the whole thing, and he does a pretty good job with it.
He did not appreciate Infinite.
That's a bummer.
Yeah,
that's a bummer. I'd like to. I wonder why. Did he say why?
He didn't really give a good explanation. We talked about the original idea of Infinite, how it was so much better than what eventually became of the game. But I mean,
I get that.
Infinite's not my favorite, but it is one of the prettiest games I've ever played in my life.
There's so much controversy with that I used to work with one of the developers at my previous job, that if you guys gave me a soapbox in like an hour, I could tell you how so many different things happened with that game and how the ending is completely different from what it was supposed to be.
Right.
And how he, like, how the reason that the lead writer doesn't write for 2K anymore isn't for a reason that you guys think. It's something completely arbitrary and stupid that 2K told him was not possible at the time, and he insisted was, and he just laughed halfway through production.
Now, Burial at Sea, the DLC for that game, makes up a lot of that to me. Like, it redeems a lot of it. I mean, Bioshock 2, for all of its hate, has maybe one of the most well-known pieces of DLC ever.
Yes.
Minerva's
Dead.
And
I don't hate that game. Let me just say that. I also don't hate that game at all. It's just for me, it's the weakest link. Yeah,
but different. You don't nod at it too either.
Wow.
I feel like I'm the lone person here who has never played through Bioshock 1 and
2. I've never played through 2.
I've never played through 2 myself either, but yeah, I finished 1 and 3.
I've played through Infinite, but I've never played through 1 or 2. And I've heard those are the ones to play.
I mean, obviously, we are not sponsored by GOG, but it's, I'm sure, available. Obviously, they came out with the remastered edition for the Switch. I think if you have a PS4, gosh, Justin, I might even have the Bioshock collection.
So I own the collection on PS4, but I bought it to play Infinite again.
So
it's funny.
I don't know if this is still a thing, but if you can, as far as I know, if you can buy the original versions, not the remaster versions, and redeem them on Steam or wherever, you should get the remastered editions for free. Because I didn't own any of the remasters. I owned the originals. And then when the remasters came out, I was just given them.
Nice. I'll look into that.
That might be a thing.
Unless it was like a timed thing.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, but like, I own them. I've watched my girlfriend play through Bioshock 1 to completion. And, like, I say that, I watched her play, like, maybe a third of it. And she's currently playing through Infinite. And, like, I love Infinite. I've never felt compelled to play 1. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just, I don't know.
I will say with 1, there is a spot where it's like, you could have ended it there.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, like, because everything
seems tacked on.
Yeah. After the big reveal twist thing, I don't know if we're okay to spoil a freaking old-ass game, but yeah, like, after the big twist of it all, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, cool, that's it, you should have stopped there. But the final boss isn't even that great either, so.
Nice.
Mm.
So, this just goes to show you, and a lot of what talk about on retrospects is that if you can't think of anything to play, there's so many games just from previous generations to play, and they're, you know, how much did you pay for Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, Nick?
So I just paid about $650 for both of them.
I mean, $650 for, in my opinion, it is worth it alone just to play, in my opinion, what is one of the greatest RPGs of all time, set in the best story of Star Wars. Not only is it Star Wars, it's, in my opinion, the best version of Star Wars. And then you get the second game, which some people really like. You know, it's not my favorite game in the world, but I enjoyed playing it. But, I mean, these games are obviously available to you in various forms. Shoot, if you have an iOS or an Android device in your hand right now that you're listening to this on, you can play Knights of the Old Republic for about $5. You know, we live in a world where we have that capability, so... Guys, I think if we don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and end the episode.
I would say also, you know, even if you have already played a game and just didn't finish it, you might find out that you like it later on. Little callback exactly. Right here.
Exactly. Oh, all right, guys. For detail. for Nick, for Andrew, for Justin, for super producer Todd. We will see you next time. Bye.